begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be, praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Amen. What singing, what shouting it's going to be. I'd like to do a little bit of it over on this side too, don't you? We'll just get warmed up over here for the real thing over there. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God today? Amen. Are you glad to be in church?
Yes, sir.
Are you glad you love to come to church?
Yes,
are you glad it's not what you do, it's who you are?
Amen.
This is who we are, folks.
Yes,
what you see is what you get, and I'm glad of it. How about you?
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise this morning. You love Him with all your heart. We'll look at our prayer request this morning. This was sent to the over to the library. Please pray for healing for my body as I have been in 40 months, ending next Saturday night, of God's silence, also for His will to be revealed and His plans proceed in my life. Stuck in prayer at the moment. This is from Sister Ruth from Toronto, so whatever her needs would be, we just pray that the Lord would be mindful of her situation today. Please pray for Janice Nestor, who is in the Baptist Hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Let's remember that as we pray today. Brother Baker wants to praise the Lord for healing. His wife and him, he both are doing really well, and they want to thank the Lord and thank you for your prayer. So we praise the Lord for that. Sister Janet Barron says to please pray for traveling mercies as she will be flying to Maryland on Wednesday to be with her son and siblings, be back on Saturday. So let's just pray that the Lord will be mindful of her as she travels. Aretha McQueen, sick today, wants us to remember her in prayer as we pray. Brother Carter Lawson says that his daughter-in-law's grandmother broke her vertebrae and is 93 years of age in a lot of pain. Please keep her in your prayers. So let's remember that as we pray. I'm going to pray for Ben Horniak, not feeling well today. Just pray that the Lord would touch that child. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need today, we're serving a prayer-answering God, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
You believe that with all your heart. Let's stand and let's sing that chorus one more time, Heaven's Jubilee. What a time, what a jubilee the bride of Christ is in for. Are you glad you're part of it this morning? Look at somebody and say, let's go together. Let's go together. Let's worship over here together. Let's spend eternity together. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Give Him a big hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord this day. Yes, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Yes, oh, what singing. Brother Amos Cutts, come this morning. Let's pray over these prayer requests. Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service today. All those that are traveling on the highways, let's pray that the Lord would be mindful of those folks as well. Brother Amos, we appreciate you, baby. We love this guy right here, don't we? Amen. We love you, Brother Amos.
Let's remember Brother Ben Norada as he's preparing to come and minister for us this morning, as well as our pastor down there with Brother Fred this morning. Precious Heavenly Father God, Lord, as we come to You this morning, we're so grateful and thankful, Lord, for all Your goodness to us, Lord. We look at, well, Lord, what was said last night, and Lord, it's ever unfolding, Lord, as we need it. And Lord, as things go on, Lord, the door is, so to speak, has been locked behind us, Lord. It's just you and I, Lord, we're all in this together, Father God and Lord, and we thank you for that fellowship, Lord. Dear God, what better place we could be than to be with you, Lord. There isn't a personality, Lord, there's a lot of good people that walk the face of the earth, no doubt that we would treasure to spend some time with, Lord. But dear God, the best treasure that we could ever have, Lord, that we would never, Lord, your presence, it just is so wonderful. Lord, our bodies cannot even handle, Lord, the volume, the greatness of your presence, Lord, in our lives. Dear God, we need a body change, Lord. But dear God, just to think, Lord, to be in your presence, never get stale, always fresh, always new. Lord God, Lord, you're so wonderful. Lord, you may be, Lord, as the Alpha and the Omega, the Eternal One, Lord, but you show no age. You're always young. Dear God, you're always new. And dear God, we're just so thankful for that this morning, that we've been recipients of that life, dear God. This morning, Lord, I hold in my hand these many requests, Lord, that was mentioned. And Lord, I think of our dear brother that we were with during the night, Lord, and struggling, Lord, with that issue in his hand, oh God. And dear God, I pray, Lord, you know that these bodies, Lord, they're temporal. They're wearing down, Lord. And dear God, and even sometimes when we want to serve you, Lord, our bodies don't always cooperate, dear God. So I pray for, God, these requests and those that have been mentioned, the upraised hands, Lord, and dear God, our brother, that you would strengthen that hand and heal it, Lord. You know that he uses his hand not to hold cigarettes, not to hold cans of beer, but he uses that hand, Lord, to play instruments for the glory of God. And I pray your blessing over him, Lord, and his family, Lord, and all these requests, Lord. Lord, our brother Ben, as he comes to minister the word, oh God, this morning, dear God, I pray that we'll be attentive, have attentive hearts and ears. Help us, dear God, to deal with, Lord, put everything else aside, Lord. And God, there may be some this morning that are tormented, Lord, by some sort of evil thing. I pray for deliverance, Lord. Lord, I pray for that satisfying portion to come down in our midst this morning, meet the needs of those that are out there upon the internet, Lord, and those that receive the DVDs, oh God, later on and stream the service, God. We pray that your blessing would rest upon them, Lord. May you bless them in their faith, we pray this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, receive the morning tithing offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service, we pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. How many of you come with expectation this morning?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I believe the Lord's going to meet with us in a wonderful way, and we're just glad you're here. Glad that the Lord is among us. If he wasn't among us, I wouldn't even want to be here. Would you?
Amen.
I wouldn't want to put on a suit if I know the Lord wasn't going to be here, Brother Terry. Would you?
Amen.
That's right. Praise the Lord. We're just glad that God is among us.
Amen.
I'm glad the Spirit of the Lord has free preeminence in this service today. Aren't you glad about it today? Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning with all your heart. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day when Jesus was.
Watch and pray. Watch and pray. And live rejoicing.
Hallelujah.
Live rejoicing.
Oh.
Every day.
Each and every day.
Every day.
Oh, happy day. It's a happy day.
Aren't you glad that that day that your sins got washed away?
Yes,
you've probably had a lot of happy days since then. A lot of happy occasions in your life. But there's never been a happier day than when Jesus came into your life and took away your sins. Washed you clean. Made you feel just like you was a newborn baby. Isn't that a wonderful feeling? I wouldn't care to go through it one more time, would you? Praise the Lord. Just to be renewed in our experience with the Lord. It's a great thing. Are you glad you love the Lord this morning with all your heart? Let's sing a little song just before we're going to turn the service over to Brother Ben. And those folks they're going to be singing for us. They just sung last night, didn't they? They just absolutely sung. And Brother Brent Ben brought us the word of the Lord, and we just want to give them plenty of time this morning. But let's sing the song. We've absolutely wore it out, but I'm so glad that he's in the house. And you know, every day of your life, as the song said a minute ago, every day of our life, this inward man is happy. But this outward man, he goes through a lot of sad times, a lot of hard times, a lot of broken times, a lot of broken spirit times. But I'm so glad that in spite of all that, he's in the house. Maybe not just this building, but I'm so glad he's in this house. He can take care of me when this old guy don't feel too good. He can take care of me when I don't really feel like praising, when I don't really feel like lifting my hands, when I really sometimes don't even feel like coming to church. I'm glad that inner man is still in the house. Are you glad he's there in your house today? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say thank you, Jesus. Give him one more hand clap of praise this morning. A little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Praise his name. I'm gonna praise his name.
That little girl,
song,
dead in all our sins. So Jesus touched this heart of mine. He gave me life again.
Hallelujah.
And I am just a house of clay. But ever since
that blessed day,
there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
That little girl,
dead in all our sins, so Jesus touched this heart of mine.
Thank you, Father.
He gave me life again.
Yes, he did. Hallelujah.
I know I'm just a house of clay.
Oh, yes, we are.
But ever since that blessed day,
thank you, Father.
There's a light that shines in me.
Oh, the light.
For all the world to see.
Oh, he's in the house.
Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Hey. He's in the house.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the mighty God. Praise the mighty God. Praise the mighty God. Are you happy that He's in the house? Amen. What a privilege to be gathered in the house of God. What a privilege it is to be His house. That He might dwell within our hearts by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You may be seated today. May the Lord bless you real good. I'm going to invite my wife to come, and we're going to sing a little bit. And my girls are going to come and bring a song this morning first, I think, and then we're going to try to sing. And I just want to say how much we've appreciated the weekend thus far. And time flies when you're having fun. I can't believe we're almost done with this weekend already, but here we are, and it's almost done. And I just always count it such a privilege to be gathered here with you saints at Happy Valley. And sure appreciate Brother Donnie and the church body for allowing us to come and giving us the blessings of God to be able to be here with you the weekend to serve the Lord. And I hope you enjoyed last night. Amen. You that got to hear it, I certainly enjoyed the way the Lord let us bring it and the way that He dropped things in while we was preaching and just so many new things. I'll be studying for another month on what came out of there. Amen. And that's you people pulling those things out. You realize that? As we can study, we can apply ourselves, but whenever you start pulling on the gift of God, little things start dropping in that you didn't even know was in there. Amen. I tell you, when people are hungry, you just love to watch the Lord feed them. So many wonderful things take place. Amen. So we love you very much. I'd like to mention to the church this morning, I'm leaving for Africa on the 18th of December for a general convention there to Ghana, West Africa, and I'm going to be there with Brother Samson Tay and those brothers there for about 10 days or so. I'd like to ask you saints to pray for me, if you would, while I go. That the Lord would just protect me and just keep His hand on me and give us benefits for the kingdom of God's sake. Amen. So I just wanted to mention that to you. We love you this morning. Lord bless you. Very good. E flat.
Little by little. tiny step of faith brings me a little bit nearer. I can't wait till the brand new me shows up in the mirror. In the mirror, little by little, I'm changing, I'm growing. Little by little, I hope that it's showing. I'm not who I'll be, I'm not who I was, I'm somewhere in the middle. But God is changing me, little by little.
So many dangers and toils of this life, I have already come, and He keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I am gonna stand on every word His holy word has said, and holding to His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. Of the good intentions I have, sometimes my strength can fail me.
Yeah, sing it out.
And though I have tried the very best that I could, my weaknesses prevail. But then I remember the promise He made, that in my weakness He is strong. And that's when I know whatever may come, His steady hand will lead me on. And I'm gonna make it, He's already said that I would.
Amen. How many is going to make it this morning? Praise the Lord. By God's grace. Let's stand and go to the word of the Lord this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Revelation chapter 5. We're going to look again this morning at what John saw. Have you enjoyed what John's been looking at? Boy, I tell you, he's getting ready to see some wonderful things here in a little bit. Revelation 5, verse 5, and then I want to pick up 13 and 14. Now this is going from chapter 4 now, going to chapter 5, the Lamb with the book in his hand. Now, if you stand here at this book of redemption in his hand, some wonderful things are going to happen once the Lamb takes this book. So John has been brought from the church ages and time, and now he's been called up into this place with God. Brother Branham said into the outer courts. Now he's moving deeper and deeper as he goes in. Look at verse 5. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Now watch this in verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, it's good to be in church today. I so enjoy being in church. Blessing, honor, glory, power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. I don't know if y'all realize, but it sounds like they have in church. Praise the Lord. Now, notice when the Lamb takes this book, John identifies that which is in heaven and that which is in earth are being noticed or being watchful of this particular move. Why? Because those that are in theophany bodies in the next dimension over, those that are on the earth, redemption claims are lost if the Lamb cannot take this book. So on both sides of the chasm, redemption is lost if the Lamb cannot possess this book. So when he takes this book, not just the ones on the earth are saying, hallelujah, glory to God, my, what a revelation. But those on the other side are doing the very same thing. Now, we talk about Paul being caught up to the third heavens. A lot of people that try to identify it as though Paul was going to see something different than what we would see or something greater than we could see. But remember, even when Paul was caught up, the things that he couldn't speak about, God hadn't even revealed, not even what you and I know to that man. Because remember, no man knew the mystery until the Lamb takes this book. So we have everything Paul and them had, plus the opening of these seven seals. And if you're not caught up beyond the church ages, I'm talking about the teaching, the influences, if you're not caught up beyond all of that to where the Lamb can take the book for you, then no matter how much you say you believe the message on and on and on, it isn't going to do you a bit of good. All it is packing a book around in your arm. Well, that's what Brother Branham said. What do you all want me to do about it? It's a dead letter unless the Holy Spirit makes it alive to you. And it cannot quicken unless he takes this book for your soul, Brother Harry. He's got to take it and he's got to make a difference in your life with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at this in the breach. Let's read this and let's pray. Brother Bram says, waiting for redemption claims. What is this book of redemption? This title deed, abstract title deed. You say abstract? What does an abstract mean? It means it searched all the way back to the beginning. Now the Lamb has got the book in his hand, and all of this has terminated through 6,000 years of history. Now they arrive at the hour where the Lamb of God said, after the fall, 6,000 years after the fall, the day you eat of, the day you die, now I'm going to go back all the way to the very beginning so I can straighten this mess out for my children. So he doesn't go back to Eden, he goes even back further than that. And he goes back to the place where the Lamb was crucified in his very own thoughts. Its redemption means all legal possession, all that was lost by Adam and Eve. Oh, what that ought to do to a born-again Christian. I don't know what it does to you, but I know what it does to me. Its legal possession to the abstract title deed of eternal life means that you possess everything Adam and Eve lost. And then Brother Bradham says, whew, I wish I could get some of y'all to do that much, much less this other part. Now, what that ought to do to a born-again Christian, to realize everything they lost out there is now being brought back to the hands of a true believer. Praise God. Let's pray together. Before we bow our heads, I just want to mention to you, Brother Robert Marrero called me this morning and asked me if I would have the church pray. His sister, Sister Mary Lou, she's going in for a surgery Tuesday morning. And it's a very dangerous surgery. They've got to go up and through the spine, through the head, and put a tube in there. It's a very dangerous situation. He asked us if we would pray here at the church. And I told him we'd be happy to pray over the request. So let's remember our brother as we pray over the word. Heavenly Father, we so thank you today, Lord Jesus. I'm sure everybody in this building has needs as well, Lord. God, we just all come to you so needy today, Father, needing your mercy, needing your grace. We ask you today, my Lord Jesus, that you would come upon the scene now. That you would take your living book and that you would speak to the hearts of these your children today. And may you just make the word so alive to us, make it so real to us, Lord God, that we'll be able to sit here in heavenly places and partake of the great blessings of God. Lord, before me, I've got a request wrote down for Brother Marrero's sister. Lord Jesus, you see when she goes into this surgery, Father, it's such a dangerous situation, working around the spine, the neck, and so forth, Lord. My, anything could happen at any moment's time. But Lord, we're praying the angels of the living God will stand at the side of our sister, guide the hand of the doctors, Lord, the anesthesiologist, every part that is played, Lord, that the power of God would meet her right there in that operating room. May the Holy Spirit, we pray, move for our sister, Lord, and touch her body, make her well, we pray. May you just be with the family and be with all that is affected, Lord. We pray the Holy Spirit would have preeminence in this condition in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just believe it. We condemn the devil away from it and ask you to move in a great, mighty way. Bless us now, Father, as we look into thy word in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The book of redemption, as we know, the book of redemption is described to us by Brother Branham, is not a book like a loose leaf book or a page book like this. But it is, as Brother Branham identified, a scroll. And as they would take a scroll and they would roll the scroll up, the contents would be on the inside of the scroll, but on the outside would have a seal. So the scroll would be rolled up and on the outside it would say first seal, second seal, third, and they would just keep wrapping like this. Now as we read in this particular chapter, it is said that the book is written on the backside, but within is written, and then on the backside sealed with seven seals. Written within and on the backside sealed. So it is a scroll book rolled like this with the writing on the inside. Now, when the Lamb is looking at taking this book, he is waiting for a specific time period in which that he can take this book. He could not take it in any certain church age because certain things have to be expressed first before he can claim what is inside that mystery. Now, the contents of this mystery are the things that were sealed after Adam lost this book in the Garden of Eden. When Adam loses this book, it goes back to the hands of God. It could not go back to the hands of the devil. His dirty hands couldn't take it, Brother Bram said. So it goes back to the hands of God. Now, the contents of that mystery are going to be sealed until the very time of the end, in which that God has expressed all of these different attributes and characteristics of himself. He expresses his eternal, he's expressed his love and his healing, and all of these great things have been expressed. And then, as it were, the icing on the cake, he's going to open up all of these mysteries and then unlock the full potential of what we've only seen partially manifested for the last 6,000 years. Now, the revelation of the contents of the mystery of that book, of the seven seals themselves, is going to release the potential to the child of God that they are going to possess everything that Adam and Eve lost. Now, you go back and you look at what they lost, and you realize that they lost perfect love, perfect fellowship, perfect peace. They had perfect health. They had all of these type of things in the Garden of Eden. And so when Adam lost this, it had to go back to the hands of God. Now, think. Adam had the ability ability to defy gravity. Adam could speak to a tree. He could move a tree by the power of his voice, move a mountain by the power of his voice. And everything, nature and all, had to obey Adam. As we take the drama sometimes, Adam naming all of the little animals and things like that. And you know, you hear it said many times that he would say a certain name and God would look at him and smile and say, "Adam, that's exactly what I was thinking." As he had the mind of Christ there in the Garden of Eden. But there was a certain thing that happened when these potentials were sealed. It was impossible for man to get back into those potentials until the message had built through the years for the potential to be unleashed. So God would unfold just little bits and pieces, little spots at a time. He would show maybe an axe head floating in the water, or he would throw, you know, something in the pot to make the healing come. He would just show little bitty things here and there through the Old Testament to show what was leading up to the opening of these seals. Then when Jesus steps on the earth, who was the embodiment of the mystery himself, though not completely revealed, though not completely expressed yet. When Jesus, the embodiment, stepped on the earth, look what Jesus did. He controlled nature. He had perfect love, perfect peace, perfect everything around him. He could control, even if his body got sick. At a moment's time, Jesus could have spoke like that and everything snapped back in gear. Why? Because within him was the contents of the mystery of that book in the fullness of God. Now remember, it had to be expressed down through the church ages. So every age would take a little portion of God's character and God's mind, and they would express a few things here and there. But now once the mystery came all the way to the Laodicea, and it was time for the Lamb of God to take this book, God was not just wanting us to be just regular old church members and just come to church and enjoy being in the house of God and just everybody loved Jesus, but God was wanting to unlock to the bride the full potential of everything that he ever saw for her life in any way whatsoever. God doesn't want us living with all these problems that we live with. He wants us to live in perfect joy, perfect peace, perfect all these great things, and perfect faith and rapturing faith. But it took the opening of these seven seals to bring this about. Now, if you'll look at this in Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Now watch when Paul picks this up. He said, "The creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope." So the creature itself was made subject to vanity. Notice, not willing. Not willing. We are represented by Adam unto condemnation. But now if we stay that way, then it is our fault. It is not God's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. Not the church's fault. Not nobody else's fault. Come on now. If you stay in that condition, it is your own fault. As God lays everything out there before you that you can get right, get saved, receive the Holy Ghost, and move forward in Almighty God. And it's up to you whether or not you're going to move under a new representative, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're going to move under him, that's up to you entirely. That's why I say nobody can affect your walk with God if you really want to walk with God. Nobody. Every person in this church could backslide. If you are determined to serve God and willing to serve him, I don't care what goes on around you, you can stand the test of time. If Balaam by his desire can create all the things that he created just by his own desire, what can you and I create by loving Lord Jesus with all of our heart? With wanting to serve him with every ounce of strength that lays down within us. I don't know about you, but I don't want to give him halfway. If he's going to go to all the trouble to give me life, I want to give him my life a wholeheartedly. Amen. Subject to vanity, not willingly. Now watch this. But by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's what you're living in this morning. This flesh you live in is the bondage of corruption. You don't believe so? Just next time you get the flu, just start talking to yourself. This is the bondage of corruption. Everything about this flesh is bondage. But Paul says, oh my, listen to this. He said, delivered of the bondage into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Oh my, so he doesn't want us to be bound down under bondage to this thing and that thing. Well, my mama was this way. My daddy, that's bondage. But he's wanting to bring the child of God liberty that comes with the opening of these seven seals. The redemption claim gives you an entitlement to everything that God would ever want for your life. You know the problem is? We just don't want to take it that way. Well, Happy Valley, y'all going to preach with me or look at me this morning? You decide which one you want to do, because I'm going to preach whether you say amen or not. Come on, I know that pinches you. Oh, glory to God. I just believe the message, live just a little godly life, but there's so much more that goes along with being a Christian than just loving Jesus. Listen, we need to love Jesus. We need to fall in love with Almighty God. But we don't need to stop there. We need to move into every potential that Almighty God has laid out before us that we can have as the children of God. I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to have the life and the power and the authority that comes with being born again of the Spirit of God. What good does it do me to be saved and live my life in bondage? What good does it do to love Jesus and not have any authority over the devil? Come on now. What good does it do us to have all of these quotes and all of these scriptures but have no power over what it is that we're even talking about? That's why the Lamb had to come and take this book and pull the seals off of that book, because everything that we'll ever be was laying down inside of that book. Rapturing faith, the redemption of our body. Amen. Our theophany, everything we were was laying in that title deed. So if the Lamb couldn't take this book, we were in trouble. In a big way. And not just us, but those waiting on the other side. Not just us here, but all the ages down. Not just the ages down, but all the way back to Adam. Oh my, everything, all creation in heaven and in earth was lost if the Lamb could not take this book. No wonder John began screaming and shouting and rejoicing when he saw the Lamb come forth bloody as he had been slain and take this book. And he began screaming blessings and honor to Almighty God. No wonder, because Brother Branham said when John saw the Lamb take that book, he got a little view of his name wrote under those seals. Ooh, glory. Amen. All right, here we go. Everybody ready? That's what I believe is happening right here in church this morning. I believe while the Word is going forth, I believe the Holy Ghost is just peeling back a little bit of that revelation. And I'm getting a view into who I really am. I am not a Norod or a Reagan or a Ward or a Babb, but we are Mrs. Jesus Christ. We have been, amen, we have been called by the right hand of Almighty God. We are the purchased possession. We are the reason there's a rapture. The glorious liberty of the child of God. I don't want to be just liberated and making devils leave my body. But I want to make devils leave my mind. I want devils to leave my human spirit. I want complexes to know they have met their match. Praise the Lord, church. I want the devil to know that this liberty that God has given to us as children of God isn't just a byword, isn't just an expression, isn't just something we read out of a book, but I want him to know we are the embodiment of the very character and power of the Lord God himself. Verse 23, watch, he says, verse 22, we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Now watch now, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. So God wanted us to be saved beyond just soul saved. But he wants us to be physically saved, just like he wants us to be spiritually saved. What good would it do me to have eternal life in a body that dies? In a body that gets sick, gets old, gets wore out. What good would it do me to have eternal life dwelling in this body if there was no eternal value in my body to match the eternal value in my soul? Come on now. What good would it do me to have the soul quickened by God and have nothing on the outside that could match that part that was on the inside of my soul? So when the Lamb takes this book, it's more than just you receiving the Holy Ghost. But God wants you to be redeemed all the way from the top of your head to the tippy toes of your feet. Oh, glory to God. He doesn't want me to just be saved where that sin has been taken out of my soul, but He wants my body to match what's on the inside of my soul. Lord, help me keep the kitty in the bag. I'm trying to hold on to it. Watch this now. In demonology, Brother Bram said, let's talk about the death side. He's talking about somebody redeemed and has got the Holy Ghost. He said, now how could a person on that estate in that kind of condition ever be sick? Because your body is not yet redeemed. This is the reason why men and women should keep their hands off each other. Your soul might have the Holy Ghost, but that body of yours ain't got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Don't get offended. I said the same thing in my church Wednesday night. It's exactly right. I said it somewhere else, another place. I'm not just picking on Happy Valley. This is for every single one of us little messy message persons. Amen. We've got a great trend going around on the Facebook. You see a lot of people standing there with their arms wrapped around, man and woman, wrapping their arms around one another. How can you say you believe the message of the hour and let this quote stand in your face and not do nothing about it? Hugging up on women, getting along with women, and man, the other side the same. Your body is not redeemed. That's why your first kiss should always be at the altar. Amen. Because your body is not yet redeemed. Oh, you say, but I got the Holy Ghost. That's right. You've got a down payment. You've got a first fruit. But your body hasn't caught up with that yet. I noticed when Brother Man went beyond the curtain of time, women, man, everything was hugging him. It didn't matter there because he was beyond this sex program. But as long as we're in this natural body, you've got to watch what this copperhead does. Lord have mercy. Oh my. Your body is not redeemed. No matter how much, how good you are, how saintly, how holy, or how much spirit, that's only your soul. Say, but glory to God, I can kiss a woman, hug on a woman while I've got the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter. If you've got the Holy Ghost will tell you, keep your hands to yourself. Well, glory to God anyhow. Hallelujah anyhow. Ain't gonna let this quiet church get me down. Hallelujah anyhow. No matter how good you are, how saintly, how holy, how much Holy Spirit, that's only your soul. But your soul is not completed yet. It's just got the blessing, the promise of God, which is the earnest of our salvation. So because the Lamb can take this book, the deposit that has been made into our soul by the Holy Ghost, it is just a down payment of that which will be completed at the fullness of our adoption, which is the changing of our body. My friends, if the down payment feels this good, if the down payment makes me feel like I feel this morning, what do y'all reckon that full inheritance is going to feel like? Oh, you talk about glory. Some of y'all that wouldn't even raise your fingers in church. I imagine I'll have to gain weight whenever you get your full payment. Amen. Your soul is not completed yet. It's only got the earnest money. But because the Lamb took this book, everything that Adam lost has now been claimed. The debt has been wiped clean altogether.
Oh, and my new body that's laying out there for me. The earth has been claimed where my body will come from. All has been claimed. Whether in heaven, whether in earth, we can now receive the full down payment, the full inheritance of His blessing, because the Lamb took this book. Oh, my. Questions and answers. Brother Ram said, I've often said, I believe in the church as a role light. It lives mortal beings in here. Each one of us in the great conglomeration of gaiety, blackness, and darkness, mortals live in here. Now, they're either influenced from this way or from that way. You cannot be a spiritual being, sinner or saint, without having an influence from the underworld or from the above world. If you're influenced from here, you're from above. Your celestial body is waiting up here. Now you can see when John saw this book hadn't been claimed yet why he was crying. Why that the whole creation was groaning and looking out there in that vision yonder and seeing that the Lamb hadn't taken this book. Because he knew no matter how much Holy Ghost he had, he was still living in this. So if the Lamb could not take the book, this could not be fully redeemed. Those in that theophany, those standing there in that word form or in that other dimension, they knew that they could never come back to earth to eat and drink. That's the difference between a glorified and a theophany. A glorified eats and drinks, a theophany don't. How many likes to eat? Put your hand up. You're being trained for the rapture resurrection right now. As a glorified body, that's what they like. They want to eat. They want to live as a human. You wasn't made to be an angel, the prophet said. You were made to be a human being. The Lamb couldn't take this book. No matter how much the propitiation of Calvary would break the blood cell and the life of God would change your soul. If the book couldn't be claimed, you'd be having an eternal soul living in a dying body. My, what John saw. Oh my, he said, but if you're wicked, hypocritical, indifferent. Now I know there ain't nobody in the message that this quote applies to, but we'll just read it. Maybe somebody out there pick up on it. He said, your celestial body is down here. Regardless of how much you think, it's up there. Because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. Glory to God, I've got the Holy Ghost. But you know, I hate so-and-so and bitter against so-and-so and don't like so-and-so and hate. Ah. I can see right there, you ain't got no body waiting up there. Because your soul will reflect where you come from. It will reflect, as Brother Adam says here, it reflects its inheritance. So if your name is on this book right here, then your life will bear witness that your name is on this book. You'll live right. You'll talk right. Huh? You'll do everything that God wants you to do, and when you make a mistake and fall on your face, you'll get right back up and say, Almighty God, help me rise and try again. You won't just lay down. You won't just die, but you'll strive and fight to become more like this Word. But if you're wicked, hypocritical, indifferent, you don't like people, you have no friendship about you, you're not friendly, I'm just waiting on y'all to get with it. I know where I'm standing. Right? If that's the kind of attitude that you've got, no matter how much you might think that you've got an eternal body waiting on you, you're reflecting something completely different than what the Word says you are. And if your name is on that Holy Ghost filled book, amen, then you will reflect the inheritance of the Word. Oh my, he said, your life that you live here is just reflecting your inheritance. Do you understand it, he says. Let's turn down to Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Now watch how the apostle Paul says here. In whom you've also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. So it is not when you hear the word of truth that you receive this earnest money. But it's after you've heard it, the word makes an evident change inside of your life. So why is it in the message of the hour that we preach to people that it's when they hear the message that that's when they get the Holy Ghost? Well, glory to God, I can push play on a tape. That means I've got it. Does it really? Is that what the Apostle Paul taught? Remember, this is the same man that said, if an angel comes from heaven preaching a thing contrary, let him be accursed. But this is our idea. Push play, you got the Holy Ghost. Push play, you're healed. Push play, push play, push play. That is not the idea that Paul is laying out here to us. It's after you hear the word of truth. It is when that word of truth can make an evident change in your life. It is when you begin to submit yourself to the truth that you are listening to. Come on, somebody. It's when you submit your heart, your soul, your mind, everything you are to the truth that you are listening to. And once God can accept you and accept your faith, then He seals you with His own personal amen. The seal of the Holy Ghost is God's amen to your life. Your faith matches His. Your virtues matching His. All these other things. He said maybe in the potential form, of course. But He sees that down inside of you is the ability to say amen to every word of God. He knows you'll strive to the ends of the earth to make the word live. And so God says, that's a good one. Amen. Do you see it? You understand? That's why when you say, I'm a believer. If God don't believe you're a believer, then you ain't no believer. But if you say, I'm a believer, God says, amen. I've got the Holy Ghost. God says, amen. Remember, the Holy Ghost can say amen to every word of God. Oh my, he said, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now this word is so physically saved. As you are spiritually saved. So after you hear the word of truth, you're not just being saved in the form of your soul, but you're being saved in the form of the redemption of your body. So your soul receives a down payment that is the earnest money of the full blessing one day. So every time you come to church, you are drawing spiritual dividends, spiritual interest, off of that initial down glory. Every time you tap into the bank of heaven, God sends down a little bit more of your inheritance. And how could He bless you with interest and not garnish your wages? Because He went back with the abstract and found out you never done it in the first place. Oh, praise the Lamb of God. How in the world some of you all are sitting still right now? I'll never understand it. I'm talking about being justified as though you never done it in the first place. They said, Brother Branham, I forgive you for getting drunk. He said, how can you forgive me of something I never did? Amen. The bride is not just forgiven, not just given a grace to pass on through as a sinner saved by grace. I am not a sinner saved by grace. I never done it in the first place. Now you might be just an old sinner saved by grace. Oh, I'm just an old sinner. No. When I got born again, my sinning days were over. I went out of the sinning business. Praise the Lord. When the earnest money came, it was because the abstract had proved there was no lien against my soul. If you've got a lien on you, any money you make, they'll take it from you, sure as oil. So how can you come to church and every time you come to church get a fresh deposit? Because there is no lien. There is no lien on the soul of the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, He said, in whom also after that you believed. I believe God sent a prophet, okay? Next step. After you believe. After you believe. You say, what does that got to do anything with it? Because the abstract must search your life. So when you hear the word of truth and you confess your faith in Jesus Christ, then He must do a gene search. And He must continue to search all the way through there. See, when you come to this altar, or you raise your hand in church like some of you did last night, and you say, glory to God, I believe what you preach. I believe I'm a seed of God. I believe. Then Jesus says, all right, angels, let's get ready. Let us perform now a gene search. So they'll start at your confession, and the abstract will begin going all the way back You can get on that family tree site and search all the way back as far as you want to go. This abstract search, Jesus can go way plumb back beyond all that. Into your great, 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 great grandfather. Plumb back until he gets all the way back into Adam, back in there. Now, mind you, if the gene search takes him beyond Adam, you're going to get the Holy Ghost as sure as there's a Holy Ghost to be given. I like to tore my room up when the Lord showed me this. That's why many people, they come and say, oh, I believe, I've got faith, I confess it, I believe it's right. But when Jesus does a gene search on him, he can't go back past Adam. There's no representation in heaven beyond Adam. But whenever he does a gene search on the elect of God, he keeps going on beyond Adam, beyond Samson, beyond Samuel, beyond all the rest of them. And he just keeps going on back until he hits the very mind of the living God. And he goes all the way back until he sees that name on the book. Amen. The Holy Ghost is my rightful inheritance. But if I don't have a title deed to that Holy Ghost, he cannot give me the Holy Ghost. So he searches all the way back to the title book. And if my name is associated with his on that title book, then I get all the inheritance that is laying inside that book. Come on, somebody. That means that when you receive healing in your body, that's just a little down payment of your inheritance. When you receive peace in your mind and joy in your soul, that's just another little drop in, amen, of the inheritance that God has given to the bride. Hold on real tight, but that's why the bride must make the rapture. Because the rapture is just another little down payment. That's all it is, just another little down payment of everything God's already dropped into her. The rapture is not an event. The rapture is an experience. Now I'm going to say something, I hope you understand me right. I'm already in that rapture. You say, but last I saw you the other night, you was pricking your finger, that diabetes. Well, how can you say that you're in a rapture? I'm not talking about this body yet. Yet. The soul has already entered up. And I'm waiting on my body to catch up with my soul. It's just going to take just a few more down payments. Oh, just a few more deposits from the Holy Ghost. And it won't be long. And my body will say, I'll come from maybe article 425 and 426 will be the body change. Oh my, I can't wait until that electronic debit drops into my body. Hallelujah. He will send down the transfer from heaven in a moment and a twinkling of an eye. You say, he's got everything he needs. His life is capped off. Now the next thing is the body change. All it takes is just that one moment when I wake up. And God pushes that little button in his divine account. Friends, the Holy Ghost you feel this morning is the same Holy Ghost going to rapture you. If you go by the way of the grave, it's the same Holy Ghost that's going to resurrect your body. It's not a different Holy Ghost. The same faith that you feel in your heart for the promise of the Word of God and the things of God, that is the same faith that will take you out of here. Only difference is it's a supercharged faith. Woo! It's a faith that gets on up there into the pinnacle. Gets on up there into them holy mountains of God. That's way beyond just divine healing. But it's a faith that says, look, if God can heal my body, then can he change it the same way? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now potentially he saw all the elements of the stature of perfect man in you. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, not yet expressed. But he saw all of that laying in the seed. Shows the Father, 1955, Brother Bam said, everything you have need of for this earthly journey is already inside of you. He said, even the rapture. Oh, glory. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Look at this word, earnest. Money which in purchases is given as a pledge or a down payment that the full amount will be subsequently paid. Whew. I've never wanted to shout at academic talk like that in all my life. Oh, but that one makes me want to holler. So when Jesus gives us the down payment, He is initially making a pledge to you. I pledge to you, my bride, signed in my own blood on my eternal contract, that this seal of God in your soul will bring about a full change in you one day. Oh, glory to God. Oh, you say you shouldn't be happy. You're not an old man yet. I feel like an old man sometimes. I may not have gray. Time will solve that eventually. Them old hairs will either turn gray or turn loose, one or the other. But I can't wait. I can't wait for this moment to arrive. For more reasons than just old age. But I've got strains that I was born with down here in time. I've got strains that was handed to me by my mommy and daddy. I've got little things genetically that passed down to me. Little things I struggle with in my life that come down genetically in this body. If I don't have any reason to shout, I should have a reason to worship Almighty God, that them strains will be taken out of me as though it was never put in there in the first place. That's the way it is with you. That temper, that indifference, that impatience, all of them things will be taken out. That's the thing of it. People quit habits and they think that's evidence of the Holy Ghost. You can quit a habit. You can quit smoking, quit drinking, quit chewing, quit lusting, quit lying. That's a habit. But that temper of yours, it takes the Holy Ghost to take that out. That impatience of yours, that takes the Holy Ghost to deal with. That ain't a habit you can quit. That's something born down inside of you. Study it sometime when you get time. Look at Abraham. Abraham got scared and lied. His boy comes along and does the same thing. And after he does it, his grandkid comes along and he does the same thing. Why? That was laying in that nature in that family. That strain was laying in that family. They had that laying in that natural strain. But one of these days, hallelujah, our Jesus has made a pledge to the bride that I will take all of them strains away. Can you imagine living a life with only eternal strains dwelling in your body? Woo! You will be patient like Jesus. You will have a temperament like Jesus. You will have everything that He is. You will be just like that. It's hard for us to imagine what life would be like without our temper. It's hard to imagine what life would be like without impatience. But if you can dream, God gives His pledge, you're going to know one of these days. I pledge to you, my bride. When He took this title deed of redemption, that's what He was saying. I am making my pledge. Oh, glory. Hey, I am making my pledge to the body of Jesus Christ that as I live, as I have been resurrected by the same Holy Ghost that you've got in your soul, I will change your body the same way. Thank you, Jesus. Look at this next quote. Sirs, we'd see Jesus. God is the divine healer. And all that God can do for you, He did it in Jesus Christ. Your work of redemption for soul and body is completed. And look at these very next words. Even to your rapture. I'm so glad He didn't say the rapture. Because it is not just an event that I may or may not participate in. But when I receive the Holy Ghost, it's my rapture. Come on, somebody. Come on, some of you get out of this starchiness you sitting here in. Come on, the Holy Ghost wants a drop in this building this morning. Oh, He wants to give you a little down payment. He wants to give you a little down payment of the blessing of God so that you can have a whole earnest of it later on. Your rapture. The rapture is not just an event, but this is my personal experience with God. So after my body changes, I will be able to testify. This was my rapture. Just like I could say God healed my body. I can say, God raptured me. As you can raise your hands and say, God saved me. You can say, God filled me with the Holy Ghost. God gave me redemption. You'll say, God raptured me. It is a personal, personal experience. It is not just an event that you buy tickets to or raffle off. It is an experience that the bride of Jesus Christ will have. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It is only another deposit. Amen! It is only another deposit of that which He's already placed within you. Lord! I'm going to tell you, if a few more of you would loosen up in the Holy Ghost, we'd have church in this place this morning. I don't know what some of y'all are waiting for. Brother Donnie's down yonder. Let's preach. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about earnest money. A down payment of something we're all going to experience one day if we're born again of the Spirit of God. Look at this, improving His Word. So He, God, came down after going through this. It's a good way to put it. And now every son that you eat, born, the natural sex birth, is the way you come to place, you go through water, baptism, Holy Ghost baptism. Listen, and the Holy Ghost comes down at the fire baptism and claims His creation. Same as it did Him. The Holy Ghost and God is the same Spirit. It comes down and claims this body for the resurrection. So as Jesus was standing in Jordan and the fullness of the Father entered into Jesus, remember, He was no more of a son than He was right there. He was the seed of God. He was God's seed to bring forth the promise of the hour, and the fullness of the Father entered into Jesus. What was He doing? Laying claim on that body. Placing His pledge. From this body, I will begin the work of redemption. From this portion of the earth, I lay my claim. That's why David said His cells will not see corruption. That's why He would not suffer His Holy One to see corruption. Because God, His Father, had already laid a claim on it. Adam and Eve left a claim on this body. The day you eat it is the day that you die. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is laying claim on this body. Though death may put Him in the ground, though cancer may take Him from this earth, I have laid a pledge on their body. It's not replacement now. What went down is the thing that's got to come up. So the Holy Ghost lays a claim on this body. The same old ugly Ben Norod you're looking at now is going to be an ugly Ben Norod with eternal life one day. Hey, I can handle being ugly if it means being eternal. Amen. Come on, somebody. I can handle what I look like. Being eternal, that's all that matters to me. So He lays a claim on this body. So death begins to rattle at your blood pressure, then begins to drop out, and death says, they're mine. So because of the claim laid by Adam and Eve, death may very well take you. And you may close your eyes and go to sleep. But just remember, when they lower that body down in the ground, there's been a stake stuck in that body. And at the top of that stake, it says, property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Amen. So when it comes time for the rapture and the resurrection, when He comes from taking this title deed, He comes back to claim everyone that was wrote in that book. And He comes back for His claims. They might be in the sea. They might be in the back on the desert somewhere. No matter where their body may be scattered out, the claim is still sticking in that way. Oh, I can't hardly take much more of this. The claim is laying in there. Oh my, and when Jesus comes, He's looking for all them stakes of claim that's laying on the earth. Makes you want to go sit in the corner and cry a while, don't it? He comes down with fiery baptism and lays claim, not just on my soul, but on my body. I say it to you again, what good does it do to have eternal life and have a body with gray hairs in it? What good does it do to have eternal life and have a body eat up with cancer? Look at this in Romans chapter 4, verse 1. I love this. What shall we say then, Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh? Hath found, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath wherefore to glory, but not before God. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Look at this word. To pass into one's account. So God comes down, Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. Hey, he could say that to anybody he wants to. And they could say, okay, Lord, that's what I'll do. But God has a little bit more of a process than just asking you to do something and then walking off and leave. Oh, no. When Jesus introduces something to you, there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes that you didn't realize. When you were sitting in that pew getting ready to get saved, and you were sitting out there a sinner needing the Holy Ghost, and you heard the Word of God say, come on, get saved! And you said, all right, Lord, I'll do it. What you didn't realize, at the moment you confessed it, there was a whole lot of folks in another dimension that got busy on your life. And they started doing a full and thoroughly vindicated search of what kind of character you were. You said, God don't do such a thing. I beg your pardon. He said, before either child being born, he said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. So Esau, who sold out his birthright because he wouldn't stay with a simple word of God. He would rather sell it out for a pot of lentils and so forth. Oh my God, made a search all the way back on both of them boys. And there was only one that had representation in the book. The reason some people cannot get the Holy Ghost is because there is no name, no inheritance, no deed that they can receive the Holy Ghost. It don't matter how much you scream at them, anoint them with oil, smack them in the forehead, throw them down, pick them up, pick them down, pick them up, throw them down. No matter how much you holler over them, how many people praise over them, if their name is not on this title deed, they will never receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But if your name was on it, when you were standing up there weeping at the altar and you were standing up there crying out to God, oh God, have mercy on me, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord God. Give me strength, Lord God. Oh, give me mercy, Lord God. There was angels doing. Found him. Oh, glory! Amen. Amen! And because after you believed, after the search was made, he sent back the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm about to change languages, y'all. This one ain't going to work for me much longer. Oh, glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. Please don't miss what I'm preaching to you this morning. Please don't miss this. Grab onto this with all of your heart. Because if you're sitting here and all you are is just an old carnal message believer, you'll never experience what I'm talking about. Oh my, you got to throw your heart open and life open to God and say, search me, Lord, search me. Search me all the way back. It don't matter what my great-grandpa was. It don't matter what they was in the generation beyond. I want you to search me and make me right. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Look at this. The Word deals with reality. If logismo, he said, I reckon my bank book has $25 in it. It's got $25 in it. Or otherwise, I'm deceiving myself. The Word refers to facts and not suppositions. So Abraham believed God, and God said, let's do a search. He goes all the way back and finds Abraham's name wrote on the Lamb's Book of Life. So God reciprocates the deposit coming from outside of heaven there, coming out from those celestial realms, drops it right back down through the channel of faith in Abraham's soul, and God counted it, logismo, accounted it to him as being righteousness. Now he would have accounted to him as having the Holy Ghost, but the Holy Ghost wasn't given yet. They had the seed, but they didn't have the water. So when that same transaction takes place for you and I, that's when we can start saying, glad day when I was born again. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. From the book of life, they've all been torn out. I don't remember them. You say, glory to God, I don't know what this is, but it's wonderful. You didn't realize it, but in another realm, a search had been made. A search had been made, and it went all the way back until it found your name on the inheritance. Friends, denominationals and all kinds of folks sit around and say, oh, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. It ain't who loves Jesus, it's who Jesus loves. Look at this in expectation. Now watch this. Remember, I said I found two classes of people. As I'm on my third time around the world since I've been here, I found two classes of people. One of them is the fundamentalists, and the other one is the... Uh-oh. Some of y'all turned me off right then, didn't you? There he goes again. That's the thing about that brother Ben. He's awful Pentecostal, isn't he? Yeah, I'm a Pentecostal that was never raised in Pentecost. I was raised in the message, but I got Pentecost all right. I got the good kind. And unless you get the good kind, you ain't going to move forward in God whatsoever. Hey, come on, don't look at me that way. You're not going to move forward in the Holy Ghost sitting around like this all the time. No, no, you got to fight. The violence take the kingdom of God by force. If you really want it, you got to fight for what you want. Well, glory to God, that's okay, you know, that's all right. I go to church and feel a good feeling, praise the Lord, and go home. Watch how Brother Man places these two groups together. He said the fundamentalists, positionally, they know their place, but they haven't got much faith with it. And the Pentecostals got plenty of faith, but they don't know who they are. Lord, if that don't sound like message people, I don't know what it sounds like. There's plenty of them. You say, what do you think on the seven seal? Oh, Brother Bam said, brrrr. And yet you talk to them about 10 or 15 minutes after they get done spitting out a page full of quotes. Brrrr, and you find out there ain't no joy, ain't no power, ain't no authority. Ain't none of that in their life. Not a speck of it. You know what you've got? You've got a fundamental, but you don't have the Pentecostal part. Then you've got the other group. The word's going forth, trying to show them who they are. And glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know what he's saying? Absolutely not. But glory to God, I feel good while he's saying it. This is how Brother Man describes this. He said, it's like a man that's got a lot of money in the bank, but he don't know how to write a check. The next man can write the check that ain't got no money in the bank. We're going to get into something in a minute, y'all. Now, I want you to notice this. Look how Brother Man describes this. He said, if you can ever get them together, he said, then you'll have it. If they'd only realize you are sons and daughters, heirs to the kingdom. Right now, we are clean kings. Claim your legal rights. Will somebody please tell me what makes this legal? The Lamb taking a legal book. It's this document. It's this holy document called the Book of Redemption. The title deed of redemption is what makes it legal for me, as your pastor says, to make nervous devils nervous. That's what makes it legal. Because I've got a claim in that Lamb's Book of Life. But if the search has not been made and you don't know who you are, then all you are, the devil comes by and you quote him to death. The devil goes back down to hell and says, well, how'd it go? So, well, he learned about 10 more quotes today than he did yesterday. Did you move off of him? Absolutely not. I've got a legal right there as long as he ain't born again. Then the other bunch comes along and the devil tries to bother them and they try to speak him in tongues to death. Say, how'd it go? Say, boy, he's learning that tongue gift pretty good. But he doesn't know who he is. They've got a bank, but they don't have the checks. Or they got the checks and they don't have the bank. But if you can ever get the two together, If you can ever get a bride that knows who she is, but has got check signing power. Oh, praise the Lord. They've got the ability to sign their name on the checkbook, and it's just as good as daddy's is. Now you're talking about an invincible army. Now you're talking about stuff the devil can't bluff. Now you're talking about where Brother Branham said, spoken words, original seed, a Christian full of the Holy Ghost is absolutely undefeatable. Why? They got a checkbook and they've got banking power. They've got signing power and account power. Glory to God. Amen. Satan comes along and says, I'll put cancer on you. And they write out a quote and then lay out the power in the name of Jesus. You can't take me before my time. They've got bank power and they've got signing power. Oh my. He said, claim your legal rights. Don't let Satan press anything on you. If you're of God, he's got no rights to hold it. God perfecting his church. One of them is fundamental. Positionally, they know who they are. Next is Pentecostal, fundamental Pentecostal. The Pentecostal have faith and the fundamentalists have position truth. So that's what fundamentalists have. Position truth. But they don't have the authority to go with it. They know position. Positionally, they can tell you where you belong. Positionally, they can tell you what part of the age they're living in. But they have no authority to back up what they're talking about. I want to ask you a question. What do you want? Do you want to just be able to come up here in church and feel good? And just shout, rejoice, and go on? Or are you on the other side where all you want is just to learn? Just to educate yourself in the message of the hour so you know all the quotes and you can keep up with Brother Donnie and Brother David and these different brothers. When they're quoting quotes, you can almost finish it for them. Glory to God, I know the message. Or would you rather be somebody that knows your position even if you can't even remember one scripture, one quote, and have the power to back up what you're talking about? What would you rather be, Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ? Would you rather be the kind of person that's got all of the knowledge and the lingo down in the message and you can tell everybody what Brother Branham said at any page, any verse, what color the book was that he said it in? Or would you be somebody that could take your Bible and say, I may not understand it all, but the devil sure knows I know what I'm talking about when I get a hold of him. Which one do you want to be? If you can ever get these two together, you've got one of the most powerful armies of God that ever walked the face of the planet. Oh my. He said they believe it. The fundamentalists don't have any faith to operate what they believe they are. That's about the way some people are. I'm just believing my mama's got the token over me. Glory to God. She's got the faith. I don't have faith, but she's got the faith. You'll never make it in like that. You'll never make it in like that. He said the Pentecostals have it, but they don't know who they are. That's it. Look. It's like a man has a lot of money in the bank, but can't write a check. The other can write a check, but ain't got no money. If you could ever get them both together, the millennium would start. Now, you say or think what you like to think after I make this comment. It's completely up to you. Liberty to think how you want. But I'm going to tell you what I believe has been happening around the ranks. I believe what God has been doing through our preachers is he's finally getting both of those sides balanced out. And I believe that's why we're at the eve of the millennium right now. Because finally, in the ranks of the message, oh, it's taken years and there's a lot of people had to fall away. There's a lot had to get up and walk out the back door. But I believe by the grace of God, we're finally getting both of them put together. And when both of them come together, the millennium's on. He said this old nation would see something shaking like it never seen before. Signs, wonders would be appearing everywhere. If we could ever get fundamental faith, Pentecostal, and the Pentecostal faith, fundamental people, ever get them together. He said the nation would shake. Well, how about me? Instead of the nation, how about me? How about you? I'm not so much worried about a shake in the nation. Right here's what I want shook. Me. Right here's Bride's Revival. Right here is where I want to be shook. I want to be shook down inside of here. That way, if nobody else gets it, it doesn't matter. I'm still being shook the right way. Oh my. Let me go just a bit further and close. I'm trying not to hold you too long this morning as I held you long last night. I'm going to try not to do that again today. Oh my, he said, when I'm going with 25 cents in my hand, he said, see, it's just as good as the bread to me. I've got the purchase power for the substance that I want. He said, faith takes hold in the heart. There's nothing can shake it. The work is finished. God is settled. It's forever done. I go down the street, cross the river, go through the briar patch, getting hungry all the time. Haven't got bread yet, but I'm going rejoicing because I've got purchase power. That's why when you hear us singing songs about the rapture, there's people out there going, glory to God, hallelujah, hallelujah. You say, you changed yet? Absolutely not. My back's getting sore every day as I live. But why are you so happy? Because I've got the bread. I got the bread, the purchase power in my hand. I may not have the bread in my mouth, but I've got the earnest of my resurrection. I've got the earnest money down inside of my soul. That's why I can rejoice just as much as if I've already got it. Brother Man said, I go rejoicing because the purchase power and the assurance that bread belongs to me. Blessed be His holy name. He said, before I get there, I may have cramps. I'm so hungry, I may get delirious while I'm fighting my way through the bushes like a madman. Does that sound like a church member sitting in church like that? You're not delirious and you're not cramps. But a child of God that's got cramps, that's delirious, that's so hungry they can't hardly stand it. There's not a time that they come to the house of God, but what, that ain't the time to get a little bit closer to the deposit. They want to get a little bit closer to that full inheritance, a little bit closer to the full deposit. And though they'll come, they'll fight, they'll struggle, they'll fight right along with the preacher. When everybody else around them sitting there staring a hole through him, they'll be sitting there saying, come on, man of God, come on, man of God, preach that word to me. I'm delirious, I'm hungry, I've got Laodicean cramps, I'm starving to death, but oh, I need more purchase power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, as long as I'm holding the 25 cents, the bread has got to come. You wonder if you've got a rapture coming, if you've got the Holy Ghost, that is evidence. Come on, somebody. That is evidence that you've got the rapture already working in your mortal body. If you've got the Holy Ghost, that's evidence. Huh? That's evidence that the rapture's laying right above you. Oh my. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So that 25 cents is a revelation. God has made a pledge. He has pledged that as He has redeemed my soul, He will one day redeem my body. Can I go just a pinch? And perseverance. I don't know when I'm going to get back to y'all, so it's hard not to unload it. For instance, perhaps a loaf of bread starving to death, he said, the loaf would save my life. I would ask for the bread. Some man would give me 25 cents. That's the purchase price of a loaf of bread. I can be just as happy holding the 25 cents in my hand as I can the loaf of bread because it's the purchasing power. He said, then I've got it. I haven't got the bread, but I've got the purchase power. Well, that's faith. When you can pray until you've got the assurance, you'll be just as happy as if the cancer's already gone. Oh, glory! Why? You've got purchase power. You can shout just as loud. All right, let's compare your quotes with mine. My quote says you can shout. What does your quote say? So that means when we're really starving, we're really hungry, we really want this purchase power. If we really want to move on, then you better get aggressive, some of you. I don't know your situations. I'm going to tell you right now, brother, don't tell me everything about people going on this church. I don't get ready and sit down and say, okay, Brother Reagan, give me the update. I don't know hardly nothing, not one single thing going on this church unless it be something you told me yourself. But I can feel spirits and I can feel resistance when I punch at you and say, what are you waiting on? Why aren't you moving? Oh, you don't like that. You know why you don't like that? Because you're wanting some man of God to pat you to sleep so you can live the same old life you've always lived. But I'm going to tell you, the Happy Valley I remembered was an aggressive, hungry Happy Valley. That's the Happy Valley that gave me the desire to want to be like some of you sitting here. That I wanted and hungered and cried and screamed and fasted until God would allow me to have fellowship with you. The Happy Valley I remember laid on their face before God and screamed out for the power of God, filled their soul with such goodness. And now some of you sit here and just stare. God have mercy. If you're ever going to reclaim your former walk with God and your former glory of what you used to be, you're going to have to get out of that lull that you're in. I know you've been through hard times. I know you've been through hell on this earth, but that's no excuse to die sitting in the pews. We've got purchase power. Oh! We've got purchase power sitting over here. Over in this church, we've got purchase power. He said, because you've got purchase power, faith moves the thing. No one can tell you anything different. Doesn't matter what anyone says. Confirmation and evidence, if I'm starving, dying of starvation, a loaf of bread would save my life. A purchase of a loaf of bread, 25 cents. Someone gave me the 25 cents. Just as much as I can see and know, hold that 25 cents. It's the buying power of the loaf of bread. I'd be just as happy with the 25 cents as I can the loaf of bread. I already have the purchase power that buys the loaf of bread. That's the way faith is. Faith is something you have. You know you've got it. When you receive faith that God is, then that God is going to give you this. Yet your healing might not be there, but something has anchored within you. Ooh, come on, preach. Within you that tells you it's going to be all right. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to jump and shout and scream and holler. But if you can just get anchored this way and get away from depression, get away from fear, get away from suicide, get away from all this hell on earth that you allow the devil to put on your back, and just pray through until you got an assurance that you got an assurance everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. Though the devil rages, though Satan may buffet me, the anchor holds within the veil. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! My anchor is steadfast within the veil. Understand? He says, watch. You can be just as happy sitting in the wheelchair. As if you were out on the street jumping up and down, shouting, and running around praising God. Because you've got, he says, the evidence. Glory to God. Some of you finally broke open. You see what kind of church you're having now? You could have done this 45 minutes ago if you wouldn't have been so stubborn. But you know what you got your mind on? It's not Brother Reagan. It's not one of your home preachers. It's not your little pig, not your little pet. And it makes it hard on you to receive what I've got to say. But I'm telling you the word of God, thus saith the Lord. Just like it be if Brother Donnie was here, if Brother Darrell was here, if Brother Amos was here, if Brother Terry was here, if Brother Branham was here, it's still the word of God I'm preaching to you. Amen. But you get your mind so hung up. Oh, it ain't Brother Reagan. It ain't this one. It ain't that one. That ain't what you're looking for. You're looking to the one that took the book. It's Jesus that we're trying to get the focus on. Because at the end of the day, he's the one that's going to feed me. Persevering, he said, no to starving to death. Loaf of bread, 25 cents to buy the loaf. Somebody gives me the purchase piece of the bread, 25 cents. I can shout just as loud. Now, unless I'm wrong, maybe the North American version of shouting is this. Maybe my definition's off, Brother Harry. Maybe that's the North American version of it, just kind of nodding your head and sympathizing with everything. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You wait till he gets out of that pulpit. I'm going to be on the email. I'm on a text message. Oh, I get him. Go ahead. Say what you want to say. I'll just say it to you this way. Unless you can take the message in the Bible and prove me wrong, get off my feet. Yes, sir, because I refuse to believe that this Pentecostal blessing came with an overabundance of head nodding. This power of God comes with the full assurance. Now listen to me, you may not be a demonstrative person, but if your soul is doing cartwheels, and maybe all you can do is nod, you might break your neck nodding, but as long as it's the Pentecostal blessing, that's what matters. Friends, why do you get mad? Why do you get upset when somebody challenges you to move higher? Why would it aggravate you that somebody would look you in the face and say, come out and do a better job? Hey, bride wants to hear that. I said the elect of God want to have that. Well, you see, Brother Ben, I'm just not a very emotional person, see. Well, let's prove your doctrine, shall we? After church, the carpenter brothers, loan me a hammer, please. Each one of you offer up the right hand of fellowship. I will whack your thumb expeditiously with much alacrity. And if you do not holler, then you have a reason to stay quiet in church. But if you holler, you're making excuses. Because you really don't have your faith appropriated in the right way. I'm talking about moving up into your position knowing who you are. I'm not talking about just a bunch of noise and just a bunch of emotion. But I'm talking about go get it power. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about sick 'em power. Hey, I'm talking about go out and get that devil, get the promise of God, and make him move off your property. But we've gotten ourselves in such a formality around the message of the hour that we have to do things in just a certain way. Like I said last night, if we clap, I'm from Ohio, okay? Ohioans, I very rarely ever saw them shout. They all, that's what we done, Ohio, right here. When I got born again, I was 14 years old. I started preaching a few months after I got born again. This June will be 25 years in the pulpit. I've been called every name in the book because they don't understand me. You know why they don't understand me? Because I got the real thing. And many of them was left standing doing this. When I got the Holy Ghost, I was glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see the way I am right now? This is what God done for me. This ain't a show. This ain't a mockery. This ain't mimicry. This ain't, oh, I watch somebody. No. When I got born again, a shout came out of my mouth. Tears come out of my eyes. I couldn't have put my hair. I kept trying to put it. Someone would jerk them back up. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about getting so lost in the Holy Ghost until your assurance is sealed. I'm going to say this. I probably shouldn't, but I'm just going to go ahead and say this anyways. I feel the Lord wants me to. We have become so formal in this message until we are dead and we are powerless. Why do you think we have to pray so many times over and over and over and over again for so many people and they just don't seem to get it? You know why they're not getting it? They're not aggressive enough. Some of them. They're not aggressive enough. You really want it? Nothing will step in your way. Nothing will stand in your way. Now I'm going to say something that's going to shock you. The thing that made me want to come up higher in God was not so much listening at this man preach here, but it was hearing you pull in the congregation on them tapes. I'd hear him preach, and I believe what he said, but when I heard the people in the church going, amen, amen, Brother Donnie, preach it, preach it, I thought, Lord, I want to be a part of that. People that really love and absorb the Word. I used to listen to messages here, and people would scream out in the preaching, ah! I've been here several times with you and I see people sit right here in this church, fold their arms, put an old sour expression on their face, me knowing God wanting to bless them, but stubborn, hard-headed, arrogant. Now listen to me, I'm an evangelist. I travel all over the country, all over the world. And I am not just talking about Happy Valley. I'm talking about a trend that has swept the ranks of the message of the hour. And what we need to do is we need to get a few little cramps in us. We need to get a little delirious every now and then. Some preachers, you know, they do just enough without having to do more. A little trickle of sweat comes down. They'll pat their face. They'll get them a drink of water. They'll cool down. They don't preach like they're going to get it anymore. Some men, they just, you know, everything's PowerPoint. Everything's just, you know, step one, point one, point three, point four. What happened to God's leadership? What happened to a man being inspired of God, no matter what his name is? Being inspired to tell the people the truth. And then the people responding with amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what's happened. The devil has rocked us to sleep. And we've lost our appetite for the things of God. Oh, I'm talking to somebody this morning. We've lost our appetite for the things of God. Speaking to our young people, if you ever want to become the leaders of the next generation, you're going to have to do differently than what you've seen come down these last several years. You're going to have to get hunger in your belly. You're going to have to eat the books and the tapes up. You're going to have to study the message day and night. You're going to have to read the Bible and tear it apart. Because if there is a tomorrow, this message will never survive based on intellectualism. It'll never survive on PowerPoints. Well, I've done it again. I've done preached too long. Sorry. There's nothing going to stop you. 10,000 doctors could stand and say you're dying, and you just laugh at them and walk over top of it. Most people hope, wish, and so forth. It becomes weak, oh, so very weak, when you go to speaking in the terms of faith. Look at this next quote. Faith never turns loose. Never turns loose. I've said enough. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord. I didn't mean to talk too long this morning. I just pray you to help us. Father, maybe I crossed lines I shouldn't have crossed. I don't mean to be hard. Lord God, but there's something down inside of me. I'm so burdened and sorrowful for the way I see our people turning. They've lost so much affection, friendship. They've come to a spot where they don't even love their own families anymore like they should. Our brothers have cooled down. They don't preach like they used to. I don't mean physically, but I mean the passion. We become intellectual. We become people of good talks and good speeches. A real Holy Ghost-filled preacher is a dying breed. Holy Ghost-filled amenners and the pews is a dying breed too. We're coming down to the end, Lord. The age we're living in, people are going to cool off until it seems like the church isn't even growing. But my, at that hour, Lord, hide us. Hide us, my Father. Let us stand behind the veil, safe and protected. I pray you'd be mindful of each one of us. Lord, anything in their heart that might be wrong, that they need to make right with you, won't you let them repent of it right now? Lord, if some of the things I said, I don't mean to sound like I'm talking against their love for their pastor or another man of God, but Lord, we've crossed so many lines in this message. We become preacher worshipers. We become prophet worshipers. And when you come down and try to do things for us, we're already so full from feeding from Laodicea that we're not even hungry for the Word of God anymore. I know there's people here that are the opposite of that. Lord, I don't worry about them. But what about them ones sitting out there, Lord, that are just on the verge of being backslidden? And they're holding steady. They're not hungry. They feel no passion. They feel no drive. And they don't want to move forward. God, help them. Around the world. Around the message. Help them. Please, Lord, won't you do something for our people? Lord, I realize it's supposed to get hard. But God, make breakthroughs for your bride. Make breakthroughs for us, Lord. We can't live on intellectual sermons. We need the power of God on what we hear. Move for us, won't you, Lord, please? Please move for us. We need it so bad, Lord. We're so hungry for it. Feed us from your word. Lord, if I get delirious, if I go through the bushes like a madman, so be it. People make fun of me, so what? They don't want to serve God, that's up to them. But Lord, as for me and my house, give us a burden and a desire. As I stood in Tucson last weekend, Lord, preaching young people's meetings, and Lord, as young men and women sitting there looking at them, and I thought to myself, if you tarry, these are the leaders of the message. And I looked around and I thought, what kind of leaders are we going to have? It ain't going to be too many generations, Lord, that people are going to forget that original fire. But Lord, give us a baptism of what is right. Don't just give us money in the bank, but give us check writing power. Don't just give us check writing power, but give us money in the bank. Let us have both to be able to agree together, my Father, so that we can back Satan up off of our lives, so that we can move ahead in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Oh, my Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost would fall fresh on the people of God this morning. Lord, I just feel such a special anointing of deliverance in this place. Lord, I know that if there will be some standing here that will feel that move on them, Lord, please don't let them reject it. Don't let them reject it. Don't let them turn away. Your Spirit speak into their heart that they're listening to the right thing and they need to change from that old attitude and move up. Let this be the morning that many of them break that old crust out from off top of them. Let them go back and do their first works and renew their love for you. Grant it, Lord, won't you? I pray. And for every believer standing here in divine presence, I pray the Holy Ghost would encourage each one of us. Encourage us with your Spirit. Encourage us with the anointing. Encourage us with little handfuls on purpose. Grant it, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. I wonder if you just raise your hands with me now. And each one of you in your own way, just tell the Lord, Father, that's what I want. That's what I want. I know I've been hard on some of you, but it's because I love you is why I'm being hard. But you know the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart. You know He's speaking to you right now. Some of you young people know that there's something laying ahead of you, but you're just afraid to go to it. Don't you be afraid. Don't you hold back. Let the power of God move for you in the way He wants to move for you this morning. Whatever way the Holy Ghost wants to deal with your heart, let Him deal with you this morning. If you feel like crying, cry. If you feel like just standing there and shaking in the presence of God, whatever you feel, you let Him have His divine way this morning. Hallelujah. He wants to make a divine deposit. Clean your account now out of all this Laodicean business. Clean out the spiritual account. Clean it out wide open. Say, Father, I've got a lot of debts laying in there, but I need your mercy. I need you to make a transfer and make a search. Wipe out all this old debt. And send me back into a place where I can live to the fullness and the potentials of God. Same, Brother. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. Yes, I'll wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. His heart is made for. Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I'll wait for you. Yes, I'll wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living for.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord.
I'm falling on my knees.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Offering all of
me. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Jesus, you're all this heart is living.
Praise the Lord. You see, God wants us to express ourselves to Him in a special way. And you know, I said something to you last night. Talking about clapping, how you all clap. I think it's wonderful that you clap. I do. I think it's wonderful that you support Brother Donnie and the preachers and you clap. And oh, I think it's wonderful. But do you understand? Don't let things like that become a formality to you. We have certain mannerisms, characteristics. We sing a certain way, preach a certain way. But don't let them things become tradition to you. That's what I was trying to tell you last night. So we if somebody's not wanting to be spiritual, if the spiritual people will support the word and clap their hands, they can kind of hide and duck down in such a thing. Not be seen, not expose themselves. You know why? It's easy for them just to kind of blend into things. But that ain't what Jesus is wanting. He don't want it to become a formality to us. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? You know I appreciate your clapping. You know that? I think it's wonderful. I went to certain little churches that, you know, they're identified with the way that the services go here. And I'd be preaching away, and I get done preaching, and they'll clap. And I think, yeah, them folks watch Happy Valley, sure as the world. You know, it's a wonderful, but I want to make it plain to you. Jesus wants us to express ourselves with authenticity, not just formality. In other words, when you come to church, if you raise your hand like this, and that's the only way you ever worship God, try doing this. Do you understand? Don't get stuck in a rut, in a certain way of doing things, and oh, this is the only way that's spiritual, this is the only way that's right. My, I know as a musician, you can learn to play a certain way. And if you ain't careful, you just get one style and you'll never change. You'll be playing the same old chords. So sometimes you have to make your fingers do something a little bit different. And it's hard. It's hard. But when you master it, oh, it feels so good to be able to play it. That's the way it is in Jesus. Sometimes we get in a rut. We read the Bible the same way. We listen to the message the same way. And it just becomes such a routine to us. Now, I don't want you to ever stop your clapping. Don't ever feel that way. I want you to be able to do the things that you do like you do it. That ain't what I was meaning last night. But we need to express ourselves in genuine worship to the Lord. And if clapping is it, then make it every clap you make it so genuine. Make it so real that everybody around you can feel the atmosphere when you applaud to the Lord Jesus. Does the church understand what I meant? I don't want you to go away confused saying, Brother Ben, didn't he want us clapping no more? Amen. I love you so much. God bless you. I'm going to dismiss you at this time. I'll linger a little bit if you have needs and we pray for you. That'd be fine. But otherwise, consider yourself dismissed. I love you. May the Lord bless you. May He cause His face to shine on you. Have you enjoyed the weekend?
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I trust I've been a benefit to you in some way. And if I don't get to see you again, you pray for me. Africa's coming, and keep me on your heart if you will. And whenever we get to see you is when we get to see you. And the Lord bless you otherwise. God bless you. You can go. If you have needs, you want to come and have prayer, I'll linger here for a little bit if you have a need. God bless you. Otherwise, God bless you. Go in the fear of the Lord.
I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is there for. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all my heart is living for. Can I run to you, for arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my